All right, so if you could open your Bibles quickly, I'm going to talk for a little bit on joy. I'm going to express some joy here this morning. So it might be a little bit loud. So some outward expressions of joy is interesting. The Old Testament is feasting, festivals, drinking, dancing, eating, clapping, shouting, cheering. In fact, the Old Testament difference, when you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Old Testament has almost no expression for joy inside. Even as God's people, almost all the joy in the Old Testament is outside joy, celebratory expressions of joy. And you see that in the Jewish religion, the Jewish culture. And we get to the New Testament and they bring in a joy inside, a joy unspeakable, a joy that will never be taken away from you. A lot of times as Christians, though, we get stuck on the, well, I'm happy on the inside. My face doesn't have to show it. I'm free on the inside. I'm not going to show it. And so we don't attach sometimes Jesus's culture to our modern day worship, to our celebration, to who we are. So I want to talk a little bit about that. So think about this. The Texans are in good shape. Texans could go to the Super Bowl. Yeah. And that excites us to no end. And we go, woohoo! Imagine, Texans are in the Super Bowl. It's the fourth quarter. There's 30 seconds left, and they're 3 points behind, and they make a touchdown. Everybody would throw up their hands. Not all of you would show your stomach, but most would. We would jump up. We would high-five people we don't know. We would bump-chest people we don't know. We would post it on Facebook, and we'd be eating and drinking and partying and having fun around people that we like. Yet often that same expression doesn't translate into our church life, into our religious life, into our salvation, into our own freedom. And it needs to and it's supposed to. So when you hear John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When we hear that, we're like, we use that so other people can hear it. But when we hear it, we never think, woohoo! Yeah! God so gave his, wow, that is awesome, high five. We're like, well, that means that this group of people are going to heaven, this group of people aren't. And we intellectualize it, and we do things like that with it. There's a joy and an expression of joy. And I'm not talking about joy set like in worship or in church, but just in our life that we're meant to have. Okay? How many of you want that kind of joy? And we have a promise for that joy within. Then it's our job to find that joy. Because we're talking about a joy within and express it outwards. Now, all the things I said, eating, drinking, dancing, partying, festivals. I'll say partying and festivals, the same thing. Clapping, shouting, cheering, sports, entertainment, movies, books, everything that you like. All of those things are good things. But all of those things are supposed to be, I want you to get this, expressions of joy, expressions of freedom. None of them in and of themselves can give me any joy. Texans winning won't change my marriage. Texans winning won't change my children. Texans winning won't change the state of my heart or my mind. For a moment, a temporary moment, somebody else does something on a field that I don't even know them and will never know them and will maybe never see them in person. They do something and I'm full of something that's sort of like joy, but it's not joy at all. So I want to get it. I'm not saying go out and be super expressive and be excited about you know, worship in a certain way or about this and that and don't go partying. And there's nothing found in any of that. But that's all expressions of the joy that he's given in us. You can go out dancing every night and never find true love, never find joy, never have any more hope. You can go out drinking every night, same thing. You can go to church every night, same thing. Those are expressions of our freedom. How we have church, how I am as a believer, how I am as a pastor is this expression of God's freedom and joy and love inside of me. It's not me trying to find the right way. It's the same with dancing. It's the same whether you drink or don't drink. It's the same whether you dance or don't dance. They're expressions of our joy that's supposed to be set inside of us. And there is personal joy. I am allowed as a believer to take personal joy in what God is doing in me and through me, with me and for me. There's a personal joy I have that my son got married to Katie. There's a personal joy that I take in Zeke knowing Bradley all of his life, who's been a lifelong friend of Zeke. That's a joy for me. That's a personal joy. And there's expressions of those joy, but I'm allowed to have that kind of joy. The Bible says you're supposed to take joy in the wife of your youth. The Bible also says a child, Zeke, Victoria, all the kids in here, that you're supposed to bring joy to your parents. It says in the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. That means it takes joy in him. So those are all things that, I was just kidding, Zeke. Those are all things that there's personal joy, and that's a permissible thing. We're not just trying to bring joy to the world or joy to other people and make them, there's a joy for us. Did you know there's also in Scripture, there's a national or cultural joy? It's okay to be excited that your football team wins, the one that you love, the one that you root for. It's okay for you to be excited that your country won a war, that your country thwarted a disaster, that your country did something right. There's joy in national holidays. There's joy in the 4th of July. There's meant to be joy and joy expressed. All right? There's another joy, and it's the cultural joy that goes along with that natural cultural joy, that us as believers, we should be taking joy in who we say that He is. So we should be taking joy in who we say He is. We say He's the Creator who died, who came to earth through a virgin, was born, lived a life, died, was buried, was resurrected, and now He lives in my heart. We should take great joy in that and those things that we teach. And here's a couple things that we would be able to take joy in: His steadfast love, His salvation, His entire word, also all of the laws in His book that are applicable to us. We should take great joy in those things. Great joy in His faithfulness, His strength, His goodness, His perfectness towards us, His heart and His love towards me. To take great joy and then to have expressions. Get this. Expressions of that joy that's within because of who He is, expressed outwardly. And how does that look? That looks like me treating my wife in a certain way. That looks like me treating my friends in a certain way. I don't mean a very specific, here's what you do way, but the joy in there that I have and the happiness of how my Father in heaven is treating me is expressed in joy towards people around me. Jim, what we were talking earlier, Jim had some good expressions of joy. Today, make sure you talk to everybody around here. Make sure you express your joy for being part of a community. We have a camera here. We're going to be taking pictures of, you don't have to have an awesome sweater to get a picture taken. All right? You don't have to have an awesome sweater, although Mike's dedication on stage, being plugged into these lights, I don't know if you know, that's dedication. I will risk being electrocuted to be part of this team. That's awesome. So an expression of joy is taking somebody out to eat. An expression of joy is having a movie party and watching Elf at your house. An expression of joy is taking people shopping, buying them something, giving them money, giving them a gift card. So those expressions of joy, and they're not going to make you happy if you do it. And so a lot of Christmas is obligatory, that I'm obliged to buy somebody something because they're going to get me something. And that's not Christmas joy. That's not Christ giving. It's giving out of an expression of who He's made me and what He's given me, and I want to give it back out. There's also Jesus' joy. That joy that's really deep within. And we don't have to go look for that joy. That's the thing. We're not looking for joy. We're not looking for joy in our marriage. We're not looking for joy in our kids. Because then we put pressure on our marriage and our kids and our friends. We're not looking for joy in our church. Otherwise, we put pressure on our church to do something that it can't do. To do something that only Jesus can do, that Jesus, in fact, has already done within you, has put Himself in you and put His joy in you. So it's finding that joy in you and expressing it. Mary was overjoyed with Jesus once she got over being afraid and confused. The wise men were overjoyed with Jesus. The shepherds showed joy, had the joy of Jesus, an exclamation. Even Jesus' cousin in the womb leapt with joy when he could sense that the Creator had been put on the earth, even in the form of an infant still inside the mother. So think about those things. There's that joy that we're supposed to have, and we're supposed to kick, and we're supposed to be delighted, and we're supposed to celebrate, and we're supposed to search out Jesus wherever He's at in whatever form He is. And then we have our expressions of joy in that direction. You know, Jesus sent out 70 people and he gave them the power to heal and cast out demons and do all sorts of miracles. And they came back overjoyed with their actions, with their deeds. And Jesus corrected them and Jesus said, don't take any joy in what you can do. Even as you do it in my name, take joy that you're mine. Take joy that you're mine. So that's our first part. Not that we shouldn't be overjoyed in those other things. But we can do a lot of different things in Christianity, a lot of different things in our church, and never do it out of an expression of joy. Almost doing it out of an expression of obligation in our giving, in our ministry giving, and everything like that. I love Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He's a nobody likes this guy. He climbs up a tree. He sees Jesus, and he just wants to take a look at Jesus. He's a tax collector. He's hated. He's a crook. He's worse than the IRS at that time. And Jesus finds him and Jesus tells him, come on down from the tree. Not only come down from the tree, but I want to go into your home and I want to celebrate. And I want to have expressions of joy of eating and drinking and conversation with you in your home. And Jesus got criticized for expressing that kind of joy. So this joy is it's joy not of this world, but it's a joy that assures us that even if there's no joy to be found around me, that at one time, in a soon and near future, that there's joy that will never be taken away from me. There's a joy that I'll always be able to tap into, and there's a joy that I'll always be able to appropriately express. A lot of our addiction, a lot of our fear, a lot of the things we put our attention to are things that we're going and looking for joy, but we can never find it. And we know that over time, it might take 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years to know that pursuing these things aren't going to make us happy, aren't going to give us that joy. A lot of us are old enough to know that like really, really great doctrine and really, really good, this is exactly how I'm supposed to do church. This is exactly how I'm supposed to be a good person. This is exactly what I believe. We found out over the years that doesn't bring any joy either. That brings a lot of death. It brings a lot of condemnation. In fact, that separates us from the joy of Jesus and who Jesus is. There's an expression of our joy that comes, I don't want to say without barriers or without boundaries, but it comes in relationship of looking like somebody holding my hand, walking with me, not just giving me a Bible, a book of rules that I live by, that I struggle to live by, but a joy of the seed planted within me. The same seed that plants that joy within me is the seed that is being fully formed in me. His life is fully formed in me. So I don't have to worry about a lot of this expression out here. I can think about it, put my faith and my confidence in the ones inside of me that's changing me and shaping me. So did I tell you to turn to Zephaniah or Isaiah? That's neither one. I'm going to go through and not use the Bible again today. No, that's not true. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. And possibly Isaiah, but we'll... I want to look at the this idea of joy is never in the Old Testament just an attitude. It's always an expression. But think about that also. Peace is never just an attitude. It's also my expression. Jesus' peace in the boat when the storm and everybody else was afraid, his expression of his confidence, of his peace, that his Father was with him, was he fell asleep. Jesus' confidence that God would provide for 5,000, a meal for 5,000, wasn't send everybody out and let them get their own food. But when I gather what we have, and I break it, and I bless it, and I begin to get the expression of giving away. It's his expression of his confidence. But we think that peace and joy and strength and goodness and love, we think that it's things we construct and we put in our head, and we think about it and we talk about it, and then we box up problems and we say, well, I'm confident God's going to do this, yet we're doing nothing expressing that confidence, not even our words. And then when some of us are pretty old, aren't we? Some of you are older than me. No. This table right here. No. What we do, though, we often box it up, and we hear people, though, they're saying, I know God is good, but they're not saying that God is good. They're not living like God is good. And so we have these expressions. And in Zephaniah 3, I think it's just 14 and 17. I'm going to leave out 15 and 16. In these four scriptures, there's eight expressions of joy. And I want you to hear the joy that's in the scripture, because it doesn't actually use the word joy. So first, it says, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Singing. It says, be joyful. Express your joy with singing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, an expression of joy. How many of you have shouted? How many of us have shouted as an expression of God's love for us recently? How many of us have shouted at God's grace for us recently? That when we sinned and we were angry and we walked in pride or we did something, instead of hanging our head and going, oh, God, just help me, went, yes, grace is over. It covers it. I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm not even going to think about that anymore. God's taking care of that. To shout out these things, rejoice and exult with all your heart. Rejoice and exult are joyful expressions. To rejoice and to be loud. In fact, some of these expressions in here were kind of funny. The funniest one I read was to make a loud noise like a shrilly neigh. Like a horse. Anybody want to try? Yeah, because somebody did a little light one. That sounded like a Shetland pony, though. I mean, it's all these expressions. And you know what? But we like our music in church to be good. So we don't want anybody yelling out. We don't want anybody singing too loud that they're not very good. Everywhere I've ever been, I want my music loud because I'm going to sing really loud and I sing horribly. So we need it loud enough so I don't distract anybody. But our music here is loud enough for all of us to make a joyful noise without irritating our neighbor next to us. All right? But there's this loudness that we've forgotten about in our celebration. And I don't mean like going into a party or somewhere and somebody tells you so-and-so passed away. You're like, hallelujah, God's a good God. You'll be okay. Just pray about it. I don't mean loud like that. I mean like loud in us and loud in what God's done. And find that joy within us. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Get this. He's shouting over you with joy. His gladness is joy. He will exult over you with loud singing. Isn't that amazing? That God is excited about you. He's not asking you to be joyful about Him first. He's asking you to recognize how joyful and happy He is about you. And then when you realize that, you're like, wah! It's kind of like when you see somebody, they go, whoa, and you scare them, and they go, whoa, right back. What God's doing. God's like, woohoo! I'm ready for a bump chest. Anybody want to give me a bump chest bump? Anybody? Anybody? Come on. Come on. Nobody? Come on. Come on, Bradley. You're too little. There you go. See? That is one big elf. You know, at this age, you know, you've known a kid that not, you're supposed to say, but I can still take you. But I can't, so I don't want to lie this morning. All right, turn to Isaiah 9, verse 6. So, you're going to watch Elf, right? If you haven't already, you're going to watch Elf. And I need to be corrected. The National Lampoon is not the new National Lampoon. It's the old National Lampoon Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. Okay, that one. Some of you are like, oh my. All right, I don't want that. So, can you stand up and read those two, Isaiah, what did I say? Isaiah 9, 6, and 7.
For to us a child is born.
Woohoo! Yes!
And the government will be on his shoulders.
Awesome! Oh, yeah! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Awesome! Woo! Yes! Awesome! Hallelujah! Yeah, but you know what? We don't want to read our Bible that way. That's what Christmas season is about. That's the joy that's there, you know, for us, is to find that joy, to express that joy. Nobody is attracted to a sour-faced Christian. Nobody, and we get the other side, nobody is attracted to a Christian who's addicted to finding joy that hasn't found the joy within. The attraction comes from a sound of the soul, a sound of the heart that lives like Jesus has saved me. And that would be my hope for me and my hope for you this Christmas and this coming this year, that we find that, we find His sound within us. Not trying to make a sound that sounds like we're happy or that sounds like we're peaceful or sounds like we're okay or sounds like we're healed, but something deep within. Let that seed right be right there. All right? Ron, you want to dance with me? No, I'm kidding. All right, so I'm gonna pray, and then we're going to gonna judge. I know it says judge not lest ye be judged, but all of you this morning have permission to judge one another on your ugly sweater. All right, so Jim's gonna do that, and then we're gonna talk about some announcements. Don't forget, lifelong marriage, lifelong love affair. We want you to sign up. We have seven couples signed up. We need three or four more, and then we'll invite a bunch of other people to it. We're hoping for 20 couples. So just pray, okay? So, Father, we thank you for what you've placed inside of us. And God, it's so amazing that what you've placed inside of us is completely, absolutely the same and never changing because it's you. But because each of us are unique, because each of us are your creation, it expresses itself differently. So ask for this morning just a sense of freedom, a sense of freedom and confidence to express love, to express joy, to express peace one to another in this community, to this spiritual community right here, and in our families, to our loved ones, even those that have hurt us, that we express joy and thankfulness and love and confidence in you. And that we go into this next year expressing that confidence in who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. We just thank you for that. In your son's name, everybody said, amen. I have no words for you, Jim. Should I try some elf jokes?
That's not funny.
I'm sorry.